I'll stand right here. And then at times, do you want to just sit there? You can come up when it's time. All right. It's a great privilege for us to be here, too. It's always fun to come back to Soap Lake. And before we actually get started with the relatório, the report, I just want to thank you. Thank you for being part of a group of ministry partners, churches, individuals that support us financially, but also I got to meet Donna this morning, the one who's responsible for cards that go out, you know. There's a bunch of you that work on cards. And I told her, it's interesting how the Lord even controls postal systems, and so cards fall on the days when you're like, this is such a horrible day, and you go out to the mailbox and, somebody in the States was praying for us, you know? And simple cards, it doesn't have to be anything, but just the fact that somebody back there thought of us, prayed for us, is an enormous encouragement to us. And then, of course, your prayers. And we won't know till heaven exactly how much of God's work is done through praying. We really won't. And so I don't want to thank you, especially for all those ways that you support us. And as we give this report, I thought about taking questions at the end, but I think it's better if we say something or if we leave something out, ask it right now. Just say, hey, raise your hand. If we show a picture or we say something and you expected more information and you didn't get it, stick your hand up, because if we wait till the end, you might forget. You know, if you're like me, you'll forget what you were going to ask. You'll get to the end and say, I had something I want to ask, but I don't remember anymore. So ask it now, and we'll try and give you a response now. How does that sound? Does that sound fair? So just stick your hand up. We'll be happy to answer questions as we go. So I guess I'm supposed to use this thing here, right? And something's supposed to show up over there. Oh, well, that might help. Aha. Yeah, it always helps when you turn things on, you know? Okay, so this is us at the moment, the people who are on the ground. This is not our whole family, but this is us, you know, my wife and me and Joanna, who you've met so far. You know, we used to travel a lot in a lot bigger group because we have four of us. So, four of our kids. So why don't you come up and explain to everybody? Yeah. Oh, yes. Let me not forget. Down in the corner there, we are serving, and we have been actually serving with Baptist Mid for, I've been with them 25 years. 26, thank you. And that's why I have my wife. So you guys get great information, precise information. And you've been 31.
Yes.
Okay, we got that straight. And actually, this last Wednesday, we had the kickoff for the 100-year anniversary of Baptism and Missions. This is the centennial year. It's kind of a big year for our mission. It's kind of exciting to be part of a story that's been ongoing globally for 100 years. But keep praying for that. This is a big year. They're searching for a new president for our mission, and that's a huge deal. You want to make sure you get the right man in there to keep the direction of the organization going in the right direction. So pray for us about that.
So I want to introduce, well, we already introduced ourselves, Nathan and Dawn, and we've been married for 28 years, and we're thankful for the Lord's grace. Is that better? Okay. Lydia is our firstborn, and she graduated as a with a degree in administration assistant, and she's working at the college at Faith Baptist Bible College, and she works in the publications and communications department in the morning, and in the afternoon she's a secretary for three teachers, and it keeps her very busy. But she's also actively involved in her local church. She's involved in the Awana program and choir, and she's the Sunday school secretary. That's in Ankeny, Iowa. Nathan and Kara got married 2 years ago, and he finished his degree or whatever in pastoral studies, and they're praying for direction from the Lord, where the Lord wants them to serve and when, and getting adjusted to two little ones. And so there's Jonathan and Johanna. Jonathan will be one in January, and Joanna will be one, and Jonathan will be two in January. So we get to see them in December. We're excited. Yeah. Patricia is working on her missionary nursing degree, and she has 1 year and 3 months left of nursing. And keep praying for her. She works hard. She's working as a CNA in a nursing home to try to keep the bills paid. And so far, there's no debt. So keep praying for her. That's her goal, to graduate by the Lord's grace without debt. And you all know that how that is. And the Lord has brought in a young man into her life, Jeff. Jeff Dempsey is his name. And he's a graduate in biblical studies from Pensacola Christian College in Florida. And he has his master's degree. And he's working on another degree. He's studying Chinese and other things. But he's really praying about translating scripture. And he has a burden for the unreached parts of places close to China, like Tajikistan was his recent internship, and he has a lot of interest in that, in the mountains area. And we haven't gotten the full report yet, and things are moving along. So we don't know, nothing's official yet, but almost. That's a secret. Joanna is going to be starting, Lord willing, her last year of school. And next year, we're going to have a big graduation party for her and us. homeschooling. But you can pray for her that the Lord will give her clear direction. We thank the Lord for Joanna. All of our kids have always participated right alongside with us in the ministry. And so she helps out in music. And those girls that are up there on the slide are girls that are looking to her as a leader in other churches. There's not many young people, and so we want to encourage the young people, and she's trying to encourage them. When we have pastors' meetings, they bring their families. She babysits all afternoon, and it can be a long afternoon, and she doesn't get paid for it. She does it as a ministry for the Lord, and I thank the Lord for those extra things. She helps us right alongside. She's our right hand. She's my right hand person. And lately, she's really been my personal attendant, as I haven't been able to lift anything more than 5 pounds after surgery. And that ends on Thursday, but I'm soaking it for all it's worth.
Is it your turn? Yeah. So this is where we live. I mean, this is what we see out of our bedroom window.
Just kidding.
Yeah, this would be really cool if we could see that out of our bedroom. This is actually about an hour away from where we live. But this is what Rio's famous for. It is a gorgeous city. 6 million, we're getting close to 7 million people in the actual city, 12 to 13 million in the metropolitan area. So we could literally we plan on spending the rest of our lives there, and there's still going to be tons more churches that could be planted just in the metropolitan area of Rio. Not to mention outside, we've got cities of, 100,000, 200,000 in other parts of the state that we don't have anything going on. We don't know what's going on in those particular cities. So our burden right now is for the city and for the state of Rio. We live here. This is a map of the city. When we talk about the island in a little bit, you can see it off there at the right top part of your screen. We have a church. There's a church on that island, but we are actually starting a church where the yellow dot is there on the north side of town, and we live in this fabulous pink house in Bentuibir, is the name of the neighborhood. This house was built back in the 50s, and it's just, we call it the labyrinth. If you ever come to visit us, we'll give you a map to figure out your way around the house. It's quite amazing, but we're thankful the Lord gave us a place with lots of space, for our family. Now this neighborhood, let me back up here. Actually, is there a pointer on this, Jacob? Which button is that? Probably this? Oh. Aha. Okay. So we have the church that we first worked in Rio is right down in here. There's a church up here on the island, and then there's a church out here in Campo Grande. So this neighborhood is really central. Where we live is almost exactly 45 minutes to the other three churches. So we're kind of like in the middle of a triangle, which makes it one of our visions for this particular work is maybe down the way, once we have our own building and stuff, we could be central to, like, have Bible courses, mini seminary classes or whatever. It would be a lot easier for people to come into this location than to go out to, like, any one of the other points. It's a neighborhood with a lot of commerce. It's an old neighborhood. It's not a very pretty neighborhood, but it's a neighborhood with a lot of working class people, just tons of people that we can work with. So in 2009, we started. So actually, we've been working on this particular work for a decade now. At this particular point, I was still the pastor at the Island Church. And we actually lived on the island, or no, lived in Bento Ibero. I pastored on the island, and we started Bible studies in our home. This is in our kitchen. We did Bible studies for 2 years in our home. And then when we came back, we were back in the States, actually. Our coworker, Joy, was out on a walk one day, and she discovered this old pizza parlor right here. So this is where we live. And Joy lives in an apartment on top of our house. So it takes it's less than 11 minutes. That's what Google says. You can walk it in 7 minutes, our house, to across the tracks. We have a train station right here, and there's a million buses that run by here. It's a great place as far as visibility to be able to start out. It's a small place. It's this little storefront right here. And actually, Don, while we were singing, Don said, you know what? Our entire church fits on their platform. And you're right. It really does. From there to there is where everything we do takes place, is in that space.
And it's more near.
Yeah, it's not as wide. And we do have a room that runs across the top that we use for Sunday school as well. So we want more space. You can pray for that. Look at the platform and say, the Payfields, their whole church is crammed in the platform. Pray for us. We'd really like to have a little bit more space to spread out and do some things, but we're very satisfied with what the Lord has given us.
But our nursery, we have one little room that's a nursery.
Yeah.
6 feet by 6 feet, basically. It's a little square, you know. And then we have another room that we use as a kitchen, and it's a little bigger, but it's got a refrigerator and a, you know, so there's not much space for classroom-wise.
Yeah, class Sunday school is a real challenge. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's at the very end. We'll show you what we're dreaming of.
Okay.
Yes, but we're very definitely praying about a specific piece of property that would really give us a lot more space than what we have here. We do what you do here. We have discipleship courses that we do with, you know, singles or couples or teens, whoever wants to do a discipleship course. We have to work through a lot of baggage with people. Like we were just talking about one young lady who's been with us she's going on her fifth year now. And just now she's joined the new members class because she's starting to understand where we are and how we understand, you know, what the Bible teaches on things. She's been taught in a totally different fashion. So when she came to our church, what we were teaching was totally strange to her. Oh, yeah, she's very direct. She told us, she would come to me at night and she would say, you know, Pastor, I like Sunday school, but your evening service is really boring. It's too, you know, there's not much excitement. You're not dancing. You're not doing a lot of stuff. So I might only show up for Sunday school. She's this type of person. She's just really frank and honest about. So I told Dawn when she first came, I thought, I'll give her a month, which is really kind of, I shouldn't have been that way. I should have had more hope and prayed more faith in God's word. And she's with us now for almost 5 years. But what she'll tell you, and we talked a good long time that night, we were on the porch of the church, the veranda of the church, talking, and she said, you know, she comes from a Pentecostal background, she said, there are still elements of that background that appeal to me, but whenever I go back to those churches and visit, it's so shallow. What draws me back to this church is you preach the word, and you teach the word, and that's what I want. You know, part of me thinks that I want all the other stuff, but what my soul really wants is to hear the word of God taught and the word of God preached. And we're like, well, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's exactly why we want you to be here. But it takes time. You know, sometimes it just takes time to work through that. We have couples meetings. We have them bi-monthly, and then on the other month, we're doing separated men's and women's meetings just to help to build up their faith. Since we've been with you, the Olympics came through, World Cup came through, so we had a lot of big global-type events in Rio. So we did a lot of street evangelism, handing out tracts, talking with people. That right here is, you know, I talked about Dagoberto. That's Dagoberto right there, our 87-year-old evangelist, 86-year-old evangelist, who kept pace with everybody all day long out in the sun, handing out tracts and talking to people. He's absolutely amazing. These were interesting experiences in that if you ask us, wow, did you see anybody saved? And we can't tell you. We don't know. Because you're talking to people who a lot of them are out of town, and they float in, and you get a conversation, or you hand them a tract or a booklet, and so we don't know what happens, really. And there's follow-up. The challenge with this kind of work is the follow-up, because most of the people that we contact, or a lot of them, don't live in Rio. And to try and maintain contact with them has just been really difficult. But what was really good was how it stretched us and it stretched our people to get out of our comfort zones, to be out on the streets, to be in the buses, to be places, striking up conversations with people that we don't know and presenting the gospel to them. So we saw our people grow in conquering their fears to get out and do things that they're not normally accustomed to doing. So in that sense, handing out tracts and doing some evangelism during these global events was very important. We mentioned this morning the street the open air meeting. This is the park, and you can see Don there talking with a lady who's selling some Bahian food. So she listened to our whole service, and then once we just took everything down, she went over and talked with her. So this little park is about a 5-minute walk from the property that we're interested in. So we'll show you on a map where this park fits in, but there's just a lot of movement, a lot of people coming through this place, and an interesting place to continue reaching out. Our church supports missionaries too. We have a missionary couple we support, a Brazilian couple in Mozambique, another couple in the Amazon. He's Chikuna Indian, and she's a Brazilian, and they minister to the Chikuna Indians. And then Adriano and Josie on the right there are a Brazilian couple that are helping plant churches in Argentina. And so this year, Joanna got to go to help out in a VBS, thank you, for a week. How long was it? 8 days, more or less? 7 days? But what was really cool is she presented what she was going to do, and totally unexpectedly, our church took on almost all of her support, which was different for us to have the Brazilian church sending our kid to Argentina. But they said, she's one of our members. They're our missionaries. Why shouldn't we pay for this trip? So if there's anything our church is, it's generous to the missionaries we support. I mean, they constantly stun us with the decisions they make and in reaching out to helping the missionaries. But it's cool to see, even as small as this church is, they're already involved in supporting people outside, in Brazil and outside of Brazil.
Pastoral retreats. We do every 2 years, we're trying to do pastoral retreats for the pastors, the wives, and the children. And this is a burden on our hearts because we've seen pastors come and pastors go. And especially new pastors in Rio. Rio is different than a lot of places because we face a lot of oppression and a lot of spiritism. Spiritism is the fastest growing religion in Rio. And it's just the challenges are there. And so we desire this fellowship. So once a month we get together for prayer, pastors, wives, and families. We pray, we plan together. We do a regional ladies meeting. We have 6 churches that we work with. We do a men's meeting, youth retreats, but this is key to keeping them there because they can share their burdens. They know they can have help. We've adopted some of them kind of like kids and adopted their kids as our grandkids, and the Lord has given us comfort when we're missing some of our own grandkids or kids. But you can pray because it's a burden on our hearts. He's not going to tell you this, but I'll tell you this. Just about every week, he calls each pastor. How are you doing? How are you doing? And all of us need that. We need friends to say, how are you doing? And so we try to keep track of each other with special prayer requests too. And so we share each other's burdens. But you can pray for us because we're trying to figure out a way that we could get them out of the city. We've done twice in one location where it was a retreat camping kind of situation, so it wasn't totally restful. We'd like to get them away. One time we had enough funds, we could get them out to a hotel where nobody had to cook, nobody had to work, and we even took a babysitter that took the kids whenever they wanted them to take the kids. So they could have an afternoon off or they could have an evening off. And it was just wonderful fellowship. And usually we try to have at least one devotional, if not two, a day, and just sing together, pray together. And it's kind of like family for us.
We haven't really talked about this a lot, but we realize more and more this is something special the Lord's given us in Rio, is the close interaction between churches and pastors. Like she said, we have four organized churches and two congregations, and we do a lot of things in concert. Like our youth retreat is planned by all of us, and right now we have ongoing youth activities that are inter-church activities. So that requires a lot of work, coordinating. We don't do all of that. It's nice to have Mateos on board right now, who's doing a lot of the youth coordination. But it's a very special thing that we just ask, we pray for all the time, that the Lord would keep us unified. We know that Satan at all times is looking for ways to create disunity, help us, you know, or get us into friction mode with some people on maybe differing views on whatever. But it's just important to us that God help us work through those things so we can keep working together in our separate works, but also to see things spread out in the city of Rio as well. Pastor Jose and Donizete have been there the longest. They were in the city when we arrived. In December, he's retiring and will be moving to São Paulo. And we mentioned it in our letter, as soon as he broke the news, we said we have to have a special Thanksgiving service, because through 25 years of ministry, almost 30 years of ministry, he has helped keep all the churches in Rio alive at one point or another. When they've lost pastors, when there's been squabbles going on, almost all the time who was there and trying to counsel and work things through was Pastor Jose. He's probably one of my mentors in pastoring. Just an amazing man, both he and his wife. Can really pray for her. She has post-polio syndrome, and her health is just a steady decline down. But she's an amazing woman. She continues to work writing tracts. She does what she can with the limited energy that she has. But pray for them, as they're going to be transitioning to a new ministry. He's going to be the president of a Brazilian mission board out of São Paulo. We're excited about that. He's a good fit for that kind of ministry. But we are going to miss him big time in our city. And you can pray for me personally. The church asked me to come on board and be their kind of counseling pastor as they seek for a new pastor. So I'm going to be working with their committee, their pastoral, their pulpit search committee, once I get back, trying to find a new pastor this next year for the church. That's going to be a big responsibility to try and help them through this process.
Robert and Jane Kilkel are also missionaries with Baptist Men Missions. Their ministry has been in Jewish work, and they came to Rio in 2001, I think, or right around end of 2000. And they are the ones that have the retreat center that we use for everything. And they're one of our missionaries that are getting ready to retire. And so they're transitioning out. We don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen. They're praying about finding a piece of property and a pastor and organizing the church that they started and transitioning out in 2 years. So you can pray for them. Also, Joy Hunt is another one of our missionaries. She lives, like he said, her apartment's above ours, and she's helped for years with homeschooling as well as in the ministry in music and children's ministry. And right now, the Lord's really burned her heart for discipleship, and she's really developing, discipling, and doing Bible studies with young ladies.
Paulo Maria have probably the most difficult challenge right now. They took a church on the other side of the bay, that kind of that situation where it wasn't a split situation, but pretty much everybody had left. There'd been so much infighting in the church. And so they're trying to rebuild this work, and it's just an extremely, extremely slow process. So if you think of them, I just pray for them every day that the Lord would either encourage them through his word or bring some pioneer-spirited family along that will... Yeah, he's a retired military guy, got his pastoral training. Just a really sweet couple, but in a very difficult, slow situation on the other side of the bay.
John, Joan, and Daisy. Joan was in our first work in San José de Rio Preto in São Paulo. He was one of our Awana kids. And it's such a blessing to have him and his wife with us. He has a photographic memory. So when you say, "Where's that verse?" he closes his eyes and you can tell he's reading the page. And it's just amazing. And he attributes that to memorizing so much scripture as a child. And the Lord has just really blessed them with that. He can read a book and remember everything. It's just amazing. But so he challenges us. And we have fellowship with them. And they're in that first church that we worked with in Jacarepaguan. They've been there for 11 years. Each of our pastors, they don't receive much salary. So they receive between 2 or 3 salaries a month, which would be about $750 a month. It doesn't go far. So all of our pastors, just about all of them, have to do another job. He fixes computers on the side just to keep everything. He would love to stop, but he just needs the money to help pay the bills and help with education of the children. So you can pray about that because it's a strain to balance it all. And he also has Crohn's disease, and so that gives added challenges, and he has other health issues. So Daisy studied and got her education degree just as a fallback because his health is so precarious. So you can pray for them.
Flamilson and Larissa are the family that took the island church after we left. Just a really sweet couple, and their kids are our kind of adopted grandkids. They're both about the same age as our grandkids, so when they're over, we can kind of imagine Jonathan and Johanna, except it's reversed. Their daughter is older, and their son is, but we just have a lot of fun with them. Just a sweet, godly couple. He's our Kindle advisor. He keeps track of all the deals online and lets us know about all. I don't have to do any of that kind of research. He sends it out to all the pastors and says, "Hey, on Amazon, you can get this on sale today." Books. He's really, really good at that kind of stuff. Jaime and Mari are Mexican missionaries. We've been praying for a long time for the favelas or the shanty towns of Rio that need to be reached. We were not expecting God to answer this way. And a church, this couple came from Mexico, and that's their burden. They want to reach into the favelas of Rio. So they've been working with Flamilson and Larissa. And just recently, they moved into a favela, nearby favela. Really, like, dangerous place. But they're starting a work there. And so we're just praying for protection for them. Because they're still, have they even been there a year?
No.
They haven't even been there a year, so they're still learning the language, the culture. We really want them to stick, because it's a much-needed ministry. And they're just really go-getters, seeing them try to work out this church in that area.
For the last 20, okay.
Is that the area you told us about, I think the last time we were here,
Yes, yeah. You do not go unless you've been invited or somebody walks with you. You just don't go waltzing into a shanty town. If you do, they'll probably ask you to leave politely.
If you're fortunate.
If you're fortunate enough that they'll ask you to leave politely. Well, they met some people that lived in the favela who helped them find a place to live. So they already moved to the favela, which we're a little nervous about because they don't know Brazilian culture. And Brazilian culture is different than Mexico. And we're trying to guide them, but they're excited to be there, you know. So you can really pray. It's a real burden on her heart. We want to see them make it. She's also expecting. And where they're living is a dangerous favela. I mean, they're on the news almost every day, which not all. We have over 1,000 shanty towns. They kind of cover the hills in Rio. And it's an old problem, but we need churches in there. And it is difficult for Americans to waltz in. We wanted to,
we're
but
too
it
high
we're
visibility.
Too. They don't want us there because it's too internationally risky for them. For the last 20 years, we've had youth retreats, once a year in the summer and once in the winter, and that's when we do all the cooking and everything else in the clean. But you know what? We have seen so many young people. It's not 100%, but we've seen a lot of young people that become our deacons and workers in the future. So it's been an investment, but you can pray because we don't have as many young people anymore. And so we have to evaluate, is this a thing that we're just going to have to change direction or not? But we are having it in February. It's usually around Carnival or Mardi Gras time. It's the best time to get the young people out because you really can't imagine the wickedness that roams the streets during the day, during that time. Nobody, if you're at home, you lock yourself in. But most people leave the city during that time. So you can just pray that the Lord will, we're trying to invest in the next generation. Oh, yes. One of the fruits of those is Sueni. She's our pastor's wife, and Mateus. She got saved at one of those retreats. And the Lord called her into ministry, and she went to seminary and came back. It is such a joy to work with this couple. I can't tell you. The more we work with them, the more we love them. And we appreciate them. They're serious. He is an accountant before he went to seminary, and he's using that to supplement his income. He receives, at the moment, 2 salaries, so it's about $500 a month, which is not much to live on. And the church does provide housing. We're paying his rent for him as well. So he's using this as a ministry to minister to churches to help them because the laws have changed. Now we need an accountant to sign off on our books. And so we have to pay every month an accountant to sign on our books as a church, even though we're tax exempt and all that, but we still have to do that. And it's partly because of the prosperity theology churches and the laundering of money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you can pray because some of these law changes have brought on fees for churches, fines for churches that haven't filed this way before. So some of our churches didn't even know that this law passed, and et cetera. And so he's helping them get up to date. And we've had 3 churches that have thousands of dollars in fines that they didn't even know existed because of these changes. So you can pray, and he's just using it as a, you know, but he does receive something, but it's a lot less than they would pay a normal accountant.
So back to the dream, okay? We'll finish with the dream here. Here's where we are, where we live right now. Here's where we're currently meeting. So if you go like a 2-minute drive down the tracks, there's another train station here. And that little park that we do open-air services is right here. So people come off the train, they walk through this park. And this is all residential. And this street here is all businesses. Tons of movement all day long, even all night long. And then there's another big park right here. Well, the piece of property that we're looking at is right here. It's just right off this road, right where all the action is. Where we are here is just a commercial district, so on the weekends, it's absolutely dead. In fact, we had to move our time. We changed our service times because of security. We're so isolated. There's nothing else open, and we didn't want all our people getting out of church at like 9:30 to go home when there's... Yeah, because things happen at that time of night. It's better that everybody's home. And in bed before that, so we moved the time up. But down at this other location, there's a whole lot more activity going on all the time, so it's a lot more secure. So the piece of property that we're looking at is about 5,000 square feet, which might not sound like a whole lot, but for us, it's a lot bigger than your platform. So we found this. We were out with our deacon and his wife just looking at, we're just praying and looking for houses, and we found this place. And so far, the Lord has, we've been looking at this thing for 2 years and just saving money, and we keep going by about every couple weeks to make sure it's still for sale. And so far it is. So just pray with us about that. We're determined not to go into debt on this, so we know the Lord can keep it. Or if he has another property, he'll make another property available. The Brazilians are saving money. We're saving up money here as well in the States to try and purchase this piece of property. Our goal, as we're kind of now with Mateos and Suani in place or here at the church, we're beginning to see kind of the beginning of the end of our time because your last stages are bringing on a Brazilian pastor and then moving the church into a permanent location. So we have a Brazilian pastor now, and it looks like everything's going really well with him. Next year, we'll be working with him again all year long. So in our minds, we would love to stick with the church until we purchase this or another piece of property. With this particular piece of property, with $150,000, we'd buy the property, and we'd do the first phase. We have like three phases that we've talked through. And the first phase would make it ready for the church to just move into. Second phase would be, and a temporary, we would use the house, or at least the front part of the house, for a temporary pastoral house. Our plan would be eventually this house would be demolished over a period of time as we build our sanctuary and everything. And the pastor's house would be built on the top story. Along the top, he'd have an apartment along the top. So that's our dream. That's what we're praying about. So pray with us about that. Pray that we'll be consistent, continuing to work with the people that God sends us. This is about what we have. It's pretty representative of the group that we have there. So pray for Word of Truth Baptist Church, that we can just keep growing, just keep preaching and living the word in Rio de Janeiro. I forgot to mention. So we have, we mentioned it's like $150,000. We're lacking about $100,000. We have about $50,000 in the bank already between stateside and Brazilian accounts. So that's about where we are in raising those funds. Any questions? Any other questions? That is a cake, yes. Oh, that was for Pastor's Day? I wouldn't remember that, but I guess it was. You never know. Send them to Rio. We'd love to talk with them. Okay. Yes.
So is there a price of the property right now that you could buy it, even though you might not have enough money to do the whole thing?
Well, yeah, it's about $110,000. So we Yeah, so the $40,000 is all of the cost in the real estate cost and the actual what we would do in remodeling to get it ready for the church to move into. We do think that if we get like around half of it, we're going to approach the owner and see if he would work, because this property's been on the market for a long time. And right now it's a buyer's market in Brazil because the economy is still really kind of uncertain. And so we're just waiting till we get to the 50% mark, and then we want to talk to the realtor and see if, hey, we have half of it in cash that we'll give you tomorrow. See if that changes his mind. And then we would pay, you know, maybe monthly, installments or something to pay off the rest. So we're trying to work on that idea, but we knew from the very initial conversation that that's not an idea he's really open to yet, but we figured the longer it drags on and he's not selling it, the more that strengthens our position, especially if we can bring cash to the table. So that's what we're thinking right now. Yeah, for us it helps a lot because if we caught Matheus and Sueni in there, we wouldn't have to be paying their rent, nor would we be paying for the rent to the church. So we all that money that we pay per month, we could plow into construction, remodeling, or whatever, yeah, or into the payments for the property. So yeah. It's 1,200 reais, which would be about 300 a month. Good. Well, no, that's just the building. It would be about 200 for his apartment. So it's roughly like 600 a month we put out in, $600 a month that we put out in rent. Not we personally, the church. Yeah. But they are paying their bills. Proud of them. Well, they're not together. You know, they're separate properties, but yeah, the total value. Part of that is because we're putting in dollars, because the dollar right now is really strong. It's 4-1. So for every $1, we get 4 reais in their currency. That's good for us. It's not good for them. Pardon? It's more expensive than here. Yeah. Light bill, water bill is quite a deal more expensive than here in the States. Probably because it's such a huge city. I don't know why. Yeah, it is. We Googled it, and Rio is the most expensive city in Brazil to live, unfortunately. Brazil? Jair Bolsonaro is his name. He's the most right president that we've had in forever. Like if you talk with some of our young people, they'll say, well, Brazil doesn't have anybody right. It's just less left. So, but he's very sympathetic to, some people wonder if he's a Christian. I don't believe he's a Christian, but he's very sympathetic to scriptural morals. He's on the right side of all the moral issues, very sympathetic to churches and not creating a whole lot of red tape for churches to operate in Brazil. So we're glad to have him right now in power. But keep praying for him. We'd love to see him saved. His wife attends a Baptist church in Rio. It's a kind of a liberal Baptist church, so we're not exactly sure where she is, but she's a very religious person, very openly religious. She might be saved. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about her. But it's definitely the best situation we've had as far as president in a long time. So keep praying about that. Okay. Well, Rio's the hub for the health and wealth gospel, like the Universal Church, Igreja Universal, which is now worldwide. Their headquarters is in Rio. And that's just, I could use really strong language, but I'll try not to. It's something that really upsets us, because you see a lot of people taken in by this this church that preaches, you know, if I give so much, then God is obligated to give whatever I ask him. And a lot of people are broken by this. They'll give everything they have, and of course, their prayers aren't answered, and so then it's God's fault, you know. So a lot of times, so we have that church to deal with. The Catholic Church is still strong, although I would say it's probably easier to deal with a Catholic than some of these other folks. And then Spiritism is the other really big thing in Rio. And we have two levels of Spiritism. We have the kind of the more elite Spiritism, which is reincarnation. They believe in good works so that when you die, you come back as something better. And then you have the lower level, more African Spiritism, where they do, it's more like voodoo with animal sacrifices on the corner, which they do in our corner of our house, you know, right there. It's a lot more sinister, where they're actually calling demons to possess people. Yeah. And it's very open, very, very open. In fact, from our house, many times we can hear the drums going all night at these Spiritist centers where they're, and the drums are part of calling the demons. To possess people. And so that's a very open thing that we have to deal with all the time, people involved in Spiritism or who have had Spiritist backgrounds. And so you have to work through all that too, some of the things they've seen and experienced. Stick with them, and you have to just work that through and help them understand that now they have someone who's more powerful than all of that, because it's real. We're not dealing with just, you know, smoke and powder. We're dealing with real spiritual forces. And to help those people understand that the Holy Spirit and that Jesus and God the Father are way more powerful, all that sometimes takes some time too. So those would be, religiously speaking, those would be the biggest things that we have to deal with. Our particular neighborhood is very, very, very strong with the gay movement, LGBT. Is that how the letters here? I don't know how it is here. That's what we call it in Brazil, or in Rio. And so it's a neighborhood that really pushes that. And so, you know, we're working with our church and how we can approach and reach out to homosexuals and lesbians as well. I mean, they're part of our neighborhood. They need Jesus just as much as anybody else. But working through all that and how to approach it is a challenge as well. The big one? Well, the Carnival it varies from March to February. March is usually when it happens. It's connected to Lent, and the basic idea is you have a week to just let your flesh go crazy. And then on what they call Ash Wednesday, you go to the Catholic Church and all those sins are forgiven. That's the kind of the underlying motive for the whole thing. And I remember we came back to one of our friends, we came back from one of our youth retreats, and one of our Bible Baptist missionary friends, his neighbor saw us coming back. She said, "Where are you coming back from?" We said, "Oh, we're coming back from the youth retreat. We took everybody out of the city," and she was just shocked. She said, "No. Your jovens, your young people needed to do all of that." That was her attitude. They needed to just let themselves go. And when you say let themselves go, it really is. It's just stunning what they do. Mm-hmm. Sure. No, they have. Mm-hmm. No, we have, actually, Brazil has, like, how many official, it's like 40 national holidays. drives businessmen crazy. Because like every other week, you're losing a day. And in Rio, where things are really party-oriented, if a holiday lands on a Tuesday, everybody will take Monday off. They'll just skip work. They won't show up to work because they'll start on Friday before and take a five-day weekend. And if it's in Wednesday, some brave people will even kill Monday and Tuesday. Yeah. So it's crazy. But we have in, it's November, they have a day, a special day where they celebrate the African heritage of Brazil, all the slaves that came over. I think it's the 20th, November 20th, yeah. Any other questions as the pastor comes?
Your last opportunity.
Like I said this morning, I think. Sometime I said this, but yes, sir. Yeah, well, they have cars, and since we've been there, cars have really, they're more accessible to people, which is, has its good and bad side because traffic is just horrendous. We have the benefit with our schedules of kind of scheduling ourselves around rush hour. A lot of people depend on public transportation, so they have really big, the train system, like the one that runs near our church, near our house. People would ride in on that. And then closer into the center of town, they also have a subway or an underground subway that runs. And then there's boat lines that carry people from the other side of the bay. So we have bus, boat, subway, train, and then there's also in the center of town like a little monorail, tramway sort of thing. Oh, yeah, and lots of people are using Uber now. Tons of people using Uber, yeah, to get around. So we make the invitation again. Doesn't have to be just Pastor Andrew and his family come to visit us, so we'd love to have them come. We love to have people from any of our supporting churches. You know, if you want to come visit, participate in church services, see what's going on in the ministry there, we'd love to have you. Just let us know ahead of time. Give us a call. We'd love to have you come visit and see what the Lord's doing in Rio.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Don. And look at their little, they have a little table out there. And yeah, a prayer letter update sheet. So if you want to get email, prayer letters, it comes email. So if you're not on their email list and you'd like to be on their email list, sign up. And do you have prayer cards out there?
Well, it's just the same prayer card that we had for a while. You can take our picture. No, what we're hoping to do is we're all getting together in December.
Oh, sure.
Making,
that's fine. It's all right. That's all right. All right, good. All right, well, if you have any other questions, you can talk to them on their way out. But let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the blessing of today to be together and to worship you. And Father, we have worshiped you around your word. We have worshiped you through song. And Father, we have worshiped you in hearing what you're doing around the world, what you're doing in Brazil. And we rejoice in your good work that is going forward. And certainly, Father, you know, we hear of lives being changed, and it is wonderful. It is amazing. And yet there is an overwhelming reality that there is a shortage of workers. The city of Rio is huge, and there's so, in comparison to how many people there's such a small amount of gospel presentation happening there. And so, Father, I pray that you would raise up more people, that you would raise up more churches from the Brazilians themselves and from around the world that would have a concern for lost souls. And, Father, as you uniquely talent people, give them abilities, as you give them gifts by the Holy Spirit, and as they have different nationalities and histories, they're able to go into different parts of Brazil. And, Father, we just pray that in the upcoming years, you would do a great work. Father, several of the prayer requests of the churches, that you would do an amazing work, that you would raise up new leaders that would be there, that would be steadfast and sturdy, that would stand the test of time and to be faithful to you. Father, thank you so much for Nathan and Don and their faithfulness to you. I pray that you would continue to encourage them, that you would excite them for the work, that you would give them daily strength and daily wisdom, and they would see you work in their midst. And Father, that they would continue to give you the glory. We rejoice in all that you're doing. And Father, may we continue to walk faithfully before you until you call us home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.